WEAR TV News. Live and local with News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and you may have heard some talk about ECAT and reconfiguring the ECAT routes and figuring out what we're going to do for the future to make sure that that entity is, we're not spending too much money. We're spending just the right amount of money. We've got it reconfigured for how you get the most routers and all that. Well, I know Channel 3 had this story the other day, and good for them. It kind of annoyed me because I kept wanting to read the ridership study that ECAT had done. And I had it, and it's just kind of like other things. It was never like the urgent thing to do at the moment. And so I hadn't read it, and I hadn't read it, and I hadn't read it. And then Channel 3 is the story. I'm like, nah, I guess I got to read it. So the good news is that today, in about a half hour, we're going to talk to Rodriguez Kimbrough, who is the director of mass transit for ECAT. Wes is out this week. And I have read the study, all 221 pages of it. A lot of pictures. No, just kidding. There actually are a lot of pictures. I've read the study. And I have some observations and I have some questions, and I will tell you what I will tell Rodriguez, which is the more I read the study, the angrier I got. that's not the best reaction, but that was the reaction that I had, because what I had always heard anecdotally was that there are a couple of routes for ECAT that run a lot of people, and there are a lot of buses that run mostly empty. And I didn't really know the routes. I'm not a bus rider, okay? But it bothered me. And I know that typically bus riding gets subsidized pretty heavily by the government, right? We pay to have buses just like we pay to have parks. Parks are not a revenue generator. Buses are not a revenue generator, even though people do pay, a toll, okay, a fare, the fare box. That's never going to cover the operating costs. I get that. But when I started to look at this study, and in the beginning, I was just trying to learn, kind of what's going on in this study. And the more I learned, the more annoyed that I got, because when you really start to look at how these routes operate, you realize that, holy smokes, there's a lot of money being paid for a very small number of people to be able to ride at least some of these bus routes. And for an organization that's about a $32 million a year budget, something like that, we ought to be able to do it better. It ought to be more effective. And I'll just give you some examples so that you understand. And like I said, I'm gonna talk to Rodriguez coming up in about a half hour, and we'll talk about the future of the organization, what they're trying to do. Cut to the end, I've looked at their redesign plan, and I still have questions, okay? I don't know everything yet. But I look at their redesign plan, and I think, I wouldn't do it the way it's being done now, and I wouldn't do it the way the redesign plan says. Because you have, for example, I'm just going to go through some of these numbers with you. And I know numbers don't do well on the radio, but try to follow me if you can. There are a couple of numbers that are key to understand. There's the number of riders on a day, like how many riders per day on that route. The number of riders at a time, which is like round trip rides, okay? But the total number, like on any given moment, you got so many riders on the bus. And then you have how much money you collect on that route in the day, how much that day actually costs to operate, what the loss is per day. They are all operating at a loss. That's not surprising. That's normal, but okay. And then it's how much do we wind up paying per rider as a subsidy? Like how much does each person who rides that route cost when you take the total cost of that route divided by the number of riders? So here are some of the numbers. I'll give you one that's actually fairly high use that you could justify its existence fairly well. The Davis Highway route that runs from Johnson and Davis all the way downtown and back. Okay, 258 people ride that bus every day on average. So on average, 22 people are on that bus on a given round trip. Okay, so if you peek into that bus at a given moment, the chances are that you're going to see somewhere in the vicinity of 22 people. Okay, on a given day. That route takes in $218 a day, and it costs $2,872 to run. So we're losing $2,600 a day on that route. Somebody has to spend that money because the fare box isn't generating it. So it's generating 7.6% of its operating cost in fares. meaning 93% is being paid some other way. The cost per rider is $10.29. So the people are paying a buck-ish, okay? And we, the rest of us, are paying 10 bucks for every person who rides that bus. Does that make sense? So the ride costs us 11 bucks. The citizens pay 10. The rider pays a buck, if that makes sense to you. Another one that's a pretty high ridership number is Pace Boulevard to Warrington. It goes from Cory Station all the way over to the Rosa Park Station on Fairfield. 216 people ride that every day. There are 17 round trips on average, so 216 a day, about 17 at a time. Okay? The per-person cost of that route is $6 a day. So that one's doing much better. That's about, you know, 60% of the other one. About 10% of the money that costs to run that route is generated by the fares. Okay, those are some pretty good ones. There's another one. The Oak Crest to Cerny Heights is a good one. That's at 200 rides with 15 on average at a time. Brownsville to Myrtle Grove, those are routes 1 and 2. I know if you're not a bus rider, those numbers won't make any sense. I'm just trying to give you a general idea. 248 rides a day and 18 at a time. Okay, those are the good ones. Like, those are the best in the group. Those ones each cost us $6 a ride or $8 a ride, $8.60 a ride for the taxpayer pays. Then there are the mid-level ones, like the ones that are sort of like not that well-populated, but they're not the worst of the batch. These are ones like UWF to Scenic Heights, which goes to PSC in the end. You got 100 riders a day, 101 actually, 8 at a time. So if you look on that bus, there's rarely going to be more than 8 people, sometimes less. So 8 people at a time on this big, huge bus. Cost per person, $11.73 a person. 5% of the money to run that route gets generated at the fare box. So that's, we're paying, again, per person, 10 bucks. If you could double the number of people, you would cut the cost in half. That's what that means. Here's another one. Wedgewood to Lincoln Park. It goes from Johnson and 29 to the Rosa Park Station. 161 a day total, 12 at a time. Costs us almost $18 a person. So every person that gets on that bus, they pay a buck. We pay 17 bucks, 18 bucks to make it possible for those people to ride the bus. You've got one here that's another one sort of in that vicinity is a 9th Avenue to downtown. That runs all along down 9th Avenue, Rosa Parks downtown. That one has 68 people a day, 5 at a time. So you look on the bus, there's 5 people on the bus. $18 per person subsidy to make that bus operate. 3.6% of the revenue is generated at the fare box. And those aren't the bad ones. We'll come back to this in just a second. Jake is sitting in this morning for Candy with Traffic on the Fives.
I-10 westbound, starting around exit 7, that's the Pine Forest exit, we have an accident blocking all of the westbound lanes. If you can avoid that area, please do. It's backed up around exit 9 there. So if you have any traffic tips, please text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. By the way, welcome to the show. Great job.
Thank you very much.
You bet. So now some of the ones that are going to, like, bother you a little bit more. Because... the takeaway from this is that the way ECAT is operating right now, my opinion, being partially informed, put that in brackets, but is this is not a business well run. It's very, very, very inefficiently run, okay, is how I see it. Pending information, I'm going to talk to Rodriguez Kimbo coming up in a half hour, okay? But, for example, you got the Cordova Mall 12th Avenue to downtown route. 29 people ride that bus a day. 29 total on the day. 5 at a time, $23 a person it costs. They pay a buck, we pay 23. We're paying $23 to put a bus out there that you make, you know, there's 6 round trips a day and there's 5 people on that bus at any given moment on that big old honking, 40-foot bus. That's not good. You've got the Naval Air Station Pensacola to Navy Point bus. It goes through Corey as well. 36 people a day ride that bus, 5 at a time. The cost per person is $29. What can you do with $29 a person in terms of transportation? You start to ask questions like, would it be cheaper to buy him an Uber? Right? You start to ask questions like, would it be cheaper just to, you know, buy a Dodge Caravan and have a Dodge Caravan riding around? Because you can put 5 people in a Dodge Caravan instead of a bus. Much lower overhead, much lower operating cost. You can start to cut down that cost, right? Cory Station to the Naval Hospital, 38 people a day, 5 at a time, $42 a person. Century route, no. We'll do that one last. The Pensacola Beach route, which is a long trip, but it's really not that costly to run that bus every day compared to some that are between $15 and $2,000 a day. It only costs $645 to run. But that route does 15 people a day total, five at a time, three round trips, $43 a person. We're paying $43 a person so that five at a time can ride from Pensacola Beach, Rosa Parks, Gulf Breeze, Park West, East, and downtown, and you know, to make that trip. Michigan Avenue, the one that runs back and forth from Softley Field to the airport, $43 a person. $43 a person, 35 people a day, three at a time. The Beach Jumper that goes from NAS Pensacola over to Pensacola Beach through Gulf Breeze and downtown, 20 people a day, five at a time, $61 a person. And then the worst one of the group, just in terms of cost efficiency, is Century Route, which goes all the way from the Rosa Parks station all the way up to Century, which is a long distance, okay? 16 people a day ride that bus, five at a time, three round trips. It's $68 a person. How much transportation can we accomplish for $68 a person a different way? So my, again, the layman's view who looks at this and says, what should we do differently? I think what we should do differently is, like, if based on what I know at this moment, again, big asterisks on this, but if you say, here, Andrew, run ECAT, I am selling all the buses. And I am buying, I don't know, 15 or 20 hotel shuttle buses. You know, 15 to 20 person buses. Because that's going to be adequate to handle everything we do right now. And even on the big routes, like the Davis Highway route, where it's 22 people at a time, okay, so maybe, you know, buy two and run it double. But then you've got a more nimble fleet with much less overhead, and you can adapt more easily. I'm eliminating a lot of these routes. I'm dramatically downsizing these routes in order to get to a place where we're at least putting an average of 10 to 15 people on this bus. You know, get it to two-thirds, three-quarters capacity. I don't see another way that makes sense. And I'm seriously looking at things like the Beach Jumper route and the Century route, and I'm saying, I mean, if we just run a Dodge Caravan, you're going to take care of what you need. So that would be my suggestion. Now, there's some of that suggestion in what they want to do, because they do want to change and reconfigure the routes. They do want to downsize some of the routes. They want to make it a little bit smarter. My concern is that the way they're doing it is based on the same metrics that produced this current configuration, which is population density and job density, in a theoretical sense trying to serve the best slice of the people. But none of that matters if people aren't actually riding those routes, and I don't see the reconfiguration really considering what people are doing. It's still based on this, like, theoretical model of, well, if we put the buses near where the most people are, then we're going to get our wins. And I don't think we're getting the wins even in the reconfiguration. So, like I said, we're going to talk about this with Rodriguez Kimbrough coming up in about a half hour. I'm hoping that he can tell me the ways that I've misunderstood this so that I'm wrong, because I would gladly be wrong and find out that ECAT is really a model of efficiency and all these changes don't need to happen and that the new changes are going to fix even the problems that we do have. But like I said, that conversation comes up in about 15 minutes. 623 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Jesse Kelly here. Do you feel protected? My personal protection plan is owning gold. The Oxford Gold Group helps you buy gold to have on hand or convert it into your 401k. If things get weird, I have gold on hand. I like that. You can buy coins or convert part of your 401k with the Oxford Gold Group. It's easy and safe. 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-GOLD.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Enjoy the food, music, and fun at the Pensacola Beach Chamber's Taste of the Beach, Saturday from 10 to 4 at Casino Beach. Visit PensacolaBeachChamber.com for more. Experience an authentic Italian festival with food, Italian music, and family fun at the Sons and Daughters of Italy's Festa Italiana, Friday and Saturday in Seville Square. See VisitPensacola.com for more details. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Away from all the wang doodles and horn swagglers and snaz wangers and rotten vermicious knids.
Good morning, 626 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And let's see, we got Jake sitting in this morning, learning how to do things, doing a great job. He's got traffic on the fives for Candy.
I-10 westbound, starting around exit 7, the Pine Forest exit. We have an accident blocking all the westbound lanes. FHP is setting up a detour starting at exit 10, so if you can look for that and jump on that, that would be great. Also, eastbound on Highway 98 headed towards Mary Esther, starting around the new Publix at that light there. We have some slow traffic starting, so be aware there. If you have any traffic tips, text in or call 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. We got a couple of notes coming in at 437-1620. One says, did you say Corey Station and Navy Hospital is a route? I said, yeah, that's Route 58. He says, they have their own duty driver supplied by the Navy. yeah. Somebody else says, okay, so if we're spending $40 a person on some of these routes over 30 days, although those are weekday numbers, so let's say times 20, that's $1,200 a month. We could buy him a car. I mean, you wouldn't spend $1,200 on the payment, but, you know, once you put insurance and gas in there, you know. And that's part of the issue is, we're spending all this money to create transportation for people. What's the best way to accomplish that? And is there a much more economical way to accomplish that? Again, my view is, I think the most obvious economical way to accomplish that is, if you're going to run routes that only have five or six or three riders at a time, okay, if those are necessary, like the Century route, if you think that's necessary, great, run it with a minivan. You know, that's the alternative. Don't run it with a bus. 437-1620. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel now to show U.S. support after the Hamas attacks. Blinken holding talks with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other leaders there. He's also trying to work on securing the freedom of the 150 or so hostages kidnapped by Hamas. A San Francisco judge has signed off on a massive Facebook privacy settlement. The social media giant agreed to pay $725 million to settle claims that it violated users' privacy. And this week, a judge overruled objections on that settlement. And some schools are now telling kids to start monitoring their children's social media. This is because of the war in Israel. Counselors are concerned over the possibility of kids coming across graphic images of hostages or other things happening in Israel right now.
Which is awful stuff. And a lot of it's fake. You know, I really appreciate several of the major news outlets, especially on their, like, Instagram feeds, have been, like, CNN's one of them. They're like, have you seen this video? That's a fake video. That's actually from May. That's not from now. Or another one, this is amazing to me. You know, rocket fire taking down a helicopter. Man, spectacular video. It's from a video game. Hamas
really?
Is actually posting videos of their military successes that are just trailer clips and action clips from video game sequences. The video games are that detailed and you know, realistic looking, but the, you know, that's the propaganda that they're putting out. It's crazy and how quickly they're trying to combat this stuff. David, thanks so much for the update. 629 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We haven't talked about this yet today. You know, Carly Russell, the help, I'm being abducted. Wait, I'm not being abducted. Wait, I am. Somebody used a baby on the side of the road. What's going on? Okay, remember all that? And then none of that was really true. She's now been convicted. That's quick. I mean, for a legal outcome, that's relatively quick. So she has been convicted. She's going to get recommended 1 year in jail and $17,000 in restitution and two fines of $830 apiece. We'll see if she winds up paying that. Her lawyers are saying that's exorbitant. That's too much. The fines they agree with, but the jail time they think is, people don't get put in jail for these, you know, false reports or anything like that. I don't know, man. If that's what the law allows, I'm generally on the make an example and let's not do this again. You know, don't overpunish her for the purpose of getting deterrence, but if that's the justified punishment, I think that's about right.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Tel Aviv meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as Israel prepares for its next stage of war. President Isaac Herzog.
Israel will defend its people and do whatever it takes with an iron fist to change the reality.
Blinken would also meet with regional leaders in Jordan. International aid groups warning the death toll in Gaza could mount after Israel stopped all deliveries of food, water, fuel, and electricity. The war has already claimed at least 2,500 lives on both sides. The GOP nominates Steve Scalise for House Speaker, but the chamber adjourned without taking a vote, with several Republicans vowing not to back him.
Scalise promises the first order of business would be to pass a plan to back Israel, but some Republicans who voted for Jordan are still supporting him.
Fox's Chad Pergram. Jordan is backing Scalise. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 60 degrees. Mostly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. A Milton couple that was in Israel last weekend when the Hamas attacks began has now arrived back home safely. Jonathan and Juliette Wingate were in the nation last weekend. They were taking a tour with a church group when the attacks started.
So when we were leaving the Sea of Galilee to go into the Dead Sea, that was Saturday morning, and that's when it started. So when we were in the Dead Sea, we decided the tour group, the Pilgrim Tours, they decided to keep us at the Dead Sea an extra day, because then we were supposed to go to Jerusalem after the Dead Sea.
And Juliette Wingate there, she talked with Channel 3. She says the group ended up hunkering down for an extra day there. Then they went back to Jerusalem, where the attacks were underway. They ended up going to the Jordan border, where they were able to evacuate the country and get to an airport. They arrived back in Pensacola last night. They're urging everybody to continue supporting the people of Israel. A Pensacola man accused of holding a woman and a child hostage over the weekend is now accused of killing his cousin back in September. 26-year-old Jerry Foster Jr. is charged with first-degree premeditated murder now for the death of 38-year-old Jarvis Johnson, who was found September 9th outside of a home on Emerald Avenue in the Oak Crest neighborhood. The two alleged crimes were not linked, but Sheriff Chip Simmons says they found evidence that was.
We do believe at this time that the gun that was used in the homicide is the same gun that was used to false imprison the mother of his child, and also the one that we seized.
And investigators believe that the fatal shooting was tied to a family dispute that has led to a long run of violence between the two people. Celebrating the history of women in aviation. That's the theme this year for the Blue Angels Homecoming Air Show.
For 110 years, Naval Air Station Pensacola has been training sailors and officers. But it's only been 50 years since the first class of female naval aviators graduated. This year at the Blue Angels Homecoming Air Show, we're excited to recognize them and celebrate women in aviation.
Officials at NAS Pensacola gearing up for this year's show, which will be held Friday and Saturday, November 3rd and 4th. While the Blue Angels have had hundreds of women on the team in support roles over the years, it wasn't until 2015 when Marine Corps Captain Katie Higgins became the first female pilot in Blue Angels history. Flying Fat Albert, this year's team features Lieutenant Amanda Lee, the first female F-18 pilot in team history. A dog in Holly, Navarre, recovering after being mauled by a bear. The dog apparently needed 12 stitches to close its wounds. The incident happened over on Gordon Evans Road. Now, people in that neighborhood are definitely familiar with bears. Some people say they're not a big issue. Others say more needs to be done to stop bear interactions. Channel 3 talked with one resident in the neighborhood.
It's definitely something that they need to look into and find out a resolution, because it's a lot of them. It's nothing, you know, we're doing what we can, but it's so many.
And Florida Fish and Wildlife says a report was filed after the attack. They say, though, seeing a bear really is not always a cause for alarm, but they do suggest people in that neighborhood or any neighborhood where they've seen bears make their trash cans just a little bit harder to get into. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jake, what are you seeing?
We have I-10 westbound starting around exit 7, the Pine Forest exit. That we have an accident there that's blocking all of the westbound lanes. Florida Highway Patrol has set up a detour on exit 10. Also, East Olive Road and North Davis Highway, we have a vehicle crash. All the left turn lane is blocked there, so please use caution. If you have any traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Light showers through the morning hours. That rain chance will slowly subside throughout the day. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies throughout the afternoon and evening. 74 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. We'll be a little bit warmer as we go into Friday. 84 degrees for your high. 20% chance of a stray shower. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 66. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 6:35. At News Radio 92.3, it's 60 in Pensacola, 62 in Gulf Breeze, 60 in Milton. Our next news at 7, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Birkenstock shares declined in their stock market debut Wednesday, a potentially brutal blow to an IPO market that was just showing signs of recovery. Stock in the German shoemaker closed at $40.20, down 13% from its offering price of $46. It's rare for large companies, especially well-known brand names such as Birkenstock, to sink on their first day of trading. It's an outcome issuers and their underwriters try to avoid. The IRS says Microsoft owes an additional tax payment of $28.9 billion. Microsoft says the dispute concerns the company's allocated profits between countries and jurisdictions between 2004 and 2013. It says up to $10 billion in taxes that the company has already paid are not reflected in the proposed adjustments made by the IRS. Microsoft plans to contest the notices through the IRS's administrative appeal and is willing to go to judicial proceedings if necessary. On Wall Street, futures higher. That's Your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
There's nothing worse than being charged to spend your own money. That's why at Penair Credit Union, our fee-free checking account has surcharge-free ATMs available from Pensacola to Pensil wherever. So wherever you go, you can bet there's a surcharge-free ATM waiting for you. Because hey, we don't like fees any more than you do. So our checking has no monthly fees, no balance requirements, and thousands of surcharge-free ATMs nationwide. Penair Checking. It just fits better. Make the switch at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA.
This fall in Pensacola, Florida, celebrate 10 years of FUFU. This year promises to be bigger, funner, and, well, artier. Engaging art installations, livelier music, more amazing cuisine, and a vibrant culture that's contagious. Discover it all this fall. Come celebrate 10 years of FUFU Fest, November 2nd through the 13th in Pensacola, Florida. Start planning at FUFUFest.com.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Shootings, beatings of those who attack, indictments, incitement, fiction or fact. Zelensky, Putin, Ukraine fighting back. The border, the migrants, the policies we lack.
Keeping you connected to Northwest Florida and the world.
When you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And joining us now, we have Rodriguez Kimbrough. He is the director of mass transportation for the Escambia County Area Transit System, which is ECAT. Rodriguez, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News for the first time.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. By the way, thank you for joining us from Orlando this morning. You're at the American Public Transit Association Expo, APTA. I'm learning all these acronyms for the first time. And you are a board member for, I'm going to say FLAPTA or FLOPTA, but you guys say FPTA. That's the Florida Public Transit Association. So thank you for taking some time out to join us this morning. I appreciate it.
No, I definitely thank you for having me and to all the citizens in Escambia County. Again, as we look to drive towards excellence, hey, we definitely appreciate the opportunity to hear different ideas on how we can actually one day be an award-winning transit agency across the state of Florida.
Very good. I'm going to just give you a little bit of background of what I've been saying on the air so you know kind of my perspective. I did read the transportation, the ridership study. And by the way, last year I had a conversation with Wes Moreno where I know you guys were doing the free rides for kids. And I had made the suggestion to him at that time, you know, what we ought to do is give free rides to everybody since so little of the operating revenue for ECAT comes from actual ridership. Let's do free rides for everybody and just take away price as a disincentive and let people ride the bus as they will and then do a ridership study to find out what would the real ridership be if we didn't have any barriers. Well, we didn't quite do that, but still, we've got this ridership study in front of us. And when I look at the number of riders on different routes, and I see the rides per day, that for some of them are fairly, you know, make sense to me, and others of them are more like there's 3 to 5 riders at a time on this route, and we subsidize it to the tune of $30, $40, $68 for the Century route dollars per rider. I start to ask the question, well, golly, if I were running this system, I would sell all the big buses except for maybe one or two, and I would buy a ton of, you know, hotel shuttles, like maybe 20 or 30, and then I'd buy a bunch of, you know, minivans, and I'd run the system that way. But that's me not knowing anything. That's me just the layman looking at the numbers. Now, Rodriguez, I know we're not doing that, but tell me where am I missing this? What do I not understand about this system?
Okay, well, so first, let's start off. A fare free system, those studies have been going on across the nation. There are systems across America that actually has fare free systems. I actually sat down with one of the what I call a premier transit professional who's been in the industry for over 40 years. And again, that's always my goal, is to learn more about transit, not only because I want to see us have a thriving system, but again, I want us to be great. I don't want us just to be a system that's just operating. Good. I want to be a great operating system, award-winning operating system. And so just sitting down, talking about fareless systems. So fareless systems in a small area like ours, that doesn't actually work. Now, I can tell you, though, your ideal of getting rid of big buses and having smaller vehicles, that's actually, number one, that's always been my plan, right? Coming on board, that's something I push in the transit industry. That's actually called micro-mobility or micro-transit. And what that actually does is that takes those larger 30, 35-foot vehicles that we have in our fleet. We're actually able to take those vehicles out of the neighborhoods, And number one, I just have to say that's for safety reasons. That's why you shouldn't have those vehicles going through those smaller neighborhoods. But then what you do is you have smaller vehicles it's easier to manage those vehicles, but you still need larger vehicles on your major corridors.
Sure.
Those major corridors, big buses going at a faster pace, because again, what makes someone not want to ride our service? Okay, not wanting to ride the service because every hour and half hour you have vehicles. So if I'm going from point A to point B, that means that I have to be somewhere at the hour. So that means that's 1 hour. And then now once I want to leave point B to get back to point A, that's another hour. So it usually takes about 2 hours. So I can easily just get in my vehicle and drive. I come from the area. I understand. 16 years old in that area, we get vehicles. We want to get our license. We want to drive. Most thriving communities, they have a great transit system. And so that's always the goal. And it increased ridership. And also, too, just for emission purposes, to get single occupancy vehicles off of the road. That's actually my passion in transit, because that was what a commuter service is what initially got me interested in transit. Again, that's the actual goal.
I agree. If we can, you know, look, for just congestion's sake, as a driver, you know, we do traffic on the fives in order to tell people where to avoid the problems. If we can get people to ride the bus because the bus becomes appealing, there was actually a time early on when I worked here that I thought, you know, well, let's look into this possibility of riding the bus to work. Let's just kind of see what would the cost and the time. And I was like, you know, can't do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people have no other alternative. I totally understand that. But is there a way to run this system so that we can have more desire to use it, so the money that's being spent would be, you know, more effectively spent, and, you know, less costly by, for example, using smaller buses? Even if we used, you know, I got to guess that on economies of scale, if you used two small buses in place of a single bus, you would actually have a more efficient, you know, less costly, and more people would probably ride it because they come more frequently, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm assuming all of that is right. But Rodriguez, hang on for just a second. I'm so glad that you joined us today. I want to hear more about what you're saying. We got traffic on the fives with Jake. We'll be right back to you, Rodriguez.
I-10 westbound, starting at the Pine Forest exit, we have an accident blocking all westbound lanes. FHP has set up a detour at exit 10. Also, East Olive Road and North Davis Highway, we have a vehicle crash from earlier blocking the left turn lane, so please use caution in that area. If you have any traffic tips, please text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Rodriguez Kimbrough. He is the director of ECAT, director of mass transit for Escambia County. Rodriguez, when one thing that concerned me, I know you're making a transition. That's the purpose of this ridership plan, is to make a transition to a new model for delivering service. And the broad strokes of that model, I very much agree with. My concern is that the model going forward is still based on the old way of thinking that formed the first model, which is, where are the people and where are the jobs? Instead of, where is the ridership? And so I'm worried that we're building a system that's going to be responsive to a data set that isn't really the key one, because the key one seems to be, where are the people actually wanting to ride the bus? That seems to be coming from the ridership data, not from the strategic idea of, well, there's a lot of jobs here and a lot of people live there. Let's put bus routes in that area. Am I wrong in thinking that we're going on the wrong premise?
Yes, because again, one of your key performance indicators in transit is your actual ridership study, and my whole goal, we had six goals, and one of the goals while doing this operational analysis is, guess what? Not just where the population is located in the ridership, but I also want that ridership to get to the jobs. That's how we're going to get the single occupancy vehicles off of the road. And yes, you are correct. Smaller vehicles is actually a great thing. Anyone that knows me and actually sat down and actually spoken with me, they actually will see my passion is to emissions, lower the emissions rate, right? That's how you become award-winning transit agencies. Having more ridership, that's actually how you become an award-winning transit agency. But again, changing the mindset, I'll be the first to say, yes, we are archaic in Escambia County when it comes to our transit system, but because it's been the same for over two decades. But the thing is, in order for us to get to a point to where we can actually drive that change, yes, you first have to have the conversation like we're having right now, right? And we have to have a clear understanding, okay, just getting rid of the big buses, if that was possible, the Federal Transit Administration has a 12-year useful life cycle. So those vehicles, they were purchased, right? They were purchased before my time. And again, at one point when I first arrived, we had at not one point purchased any big vehicles. So we had 1998s, 1999s. And so those had to be replaced because when you're writing your Federal Transit Administration grants, they have line of accounting. And a lot of those grants that we had, those grants that we, and I have to shout out my staff, my finance staff, my grants coordinator, and my operations manager and everyone, we got a new team there. We've taken those old grants. When I arrived, we had 2011, 2012 grants. Those grants, hey, I couldn't change what those items were already budgeted for. So I still had to make those purchases to allow us to be able to now get into a dawn of a new era, allow us to be able to get to a point to where now, hey, while we're writing our 2021 grants, our 2022 grants, our 2023 grants, we're looking to purchase smaller vehicles. So that's our
okay.
actual goal.
That makes a lot of sense to me. You're kind of encumbered by the decisions and the grant funding of the past, and I appreciate that. And I love hearing you so ardently advocate for the smaller vehicles as a form of efficiency, because it's going to both cut costs and deliver better service to the end user, which is, you know, that's like you say, how do you make an award-winning transit system? Before we let you go, Rodriguez, I did want to let you clear up something that I think people have this misconception about buses, and I want to give you a chance to explain it, because I know it's not the way to... We don't make the money to run the system on the fare box. The fare box is, you know, 5-8% of the operating cost of a route. Some are as high as 10, but there's only one that's that high. Some are as low as 2%. But at the same time, taxpayers aren't paying this out of like their ad valorem taxes either. The money does come from taxpayers, but it comes from federal money and state money and some from the local option gas tax. The other 95% of operating costs does not come from the general budget of Escambia County, right?
That is correct. We do not operate out of the general fund of Escambia County. We have I have to say again, the staff. We have a staff here now, a team that's being built, that's dedicating themselves to put in for more grants, service development grants. We're actually taking all types of competitive grant opportunities. We're doing everything we can now to actually push forward. But no, again, we receive FTA funding because, again, public transit is the Federal Transit Administration. They have regulatory guidelines for us to have public transit. With the state FDOT district 3 from FDOT, I work tirelessly with them, and I have so much support from them. We are doing everything to get more grants.
Great.
So that we can have a better system.
No, that's fantastic. And look, I'm glad you're learning at the Orlando conference. I'm novice to this. I know that I'm looking at this for the first time, but that's kind of why the report is out, you know, so we can have this conversation and people can think about this. And I appreciate you taking the, you know, challenging questions. Okay. And I knew you'd have good answers for them. And I learned a lot today talking to you. So I very much appreciate that. And I look forward to talking to you more in the future, because I want our transit system to run efficiently. I want it to be good customer service. I want it to be a viable option for people who wouldn't normally consider it. And of course, I want to see transportation needs for our poorest citizens who really depend on this system for their transportation. I want to see them taken care of. That's the reason we have it in the first place. Rodriguez Kimbrough, he is the director of ECAT, the director of mass transit for Escambia County. Thank you so much for the time this morning. Enjoy the rest of your conference, and let's talk again sometime soon, okay?
I look forward to it, because I'm homegrown. I love the system just as much as you will, and any citizen.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets cats in our communities, too. By supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Tune in today to the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10:30, where there'll be a guest speaker from Pensacola State College on the show, talking about everything coming up in the fourth quarter. Everything from the Foo Foo Fest and Escape to Margaritaville to Christmas at the college. So much is coming up at Pensacola State College that you won't want to miss it. Tune in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel to learn more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Need urgent care or a walk-in clinic? Go to ProHealth. Post-accident physical to access your PIP money? Go to ProHealth. Drug test, DNA testing? Go to ProHealthFL.com. Affordable lab work or primary care? Go to ProHealth. An affordable Ozempic medical weight loss program? ProHealth is your answer. Does your child need a camp or a sports physical? Only $40 at ProHealth. ProHealth never requires a doctor's order or an appointment. Just walk right in one of their 7 locations. Also at ProHealthFL.com.
Tomorrow morning at 10:30, join Santa Rosa Animal Services on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every life is precious and that every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back, adopting or fostering a furry friend. Discover the resources you need to make your community a better place for pets. That's tomorrow morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
National average for a gallon of gas is 3.64. The Florida average is 3.39. If you're in Mississippi this morning, it's 3.11. In California, it's 5.70. In Navarre, 3.05 east and west at the Walmart. 3.03 in Tiger Point at the Murphy at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge. 3.29 in proper. 3.08 in Milton at the CEFCO. Same at the Pea Ridge Murphy. 3.09 at the Circle K going through Pace. In Pensacola, the neighborhood market Walmart has 2.89. 2.89 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And coming in from the southwest side, 3.08 at the Navy, the Murphy Navy Boulevard. 657 News Radio 92.3. Jake is learning the ropes this morning, and he's got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
All right, I-10 westbound at Pine Forest. We have an accident blocking all of the westbound lanes. Florida Highway Patrol is setting up a detour at exit 10. If you have any traffic tips, text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
It is... Whoa.
There we go. No worries.
It is still not clear when there will be a floor vote to elect a new Speaker of the House. The chamber recessed yesterday after House Republicans chose Majority Leader Steve Scalise to be their party's nominee. Scalise still needs to win a majority vote from the full House. It's not clear if he has enough votes yet. Talks between Hollywood Studios and the SAG-AFTRA Actors Union have been suspended. Apparently, their negotiations broke down yesterday. The Alliance of Motion Picture and TV Producers says the two sides are still way too far apart. That strike now going on for 3 months. And Republican lawmakers in New York, Andrew, pushing to remove Congressman George Santos Long Island Representative Anthony D'Esposito has introduced an expulsion resolution to, in his words, quote, rid the people's house of that fraudster, George Santos. Removing Santos would require a vote there from 2/3 of their house. The congressman, of course, just hit with federal fraud charges in addition to separate charges dating back to the spring of fraud, money laundering, and theft.
But they can't vote to expel him until they have a Speaker of the House.
That's true.
Which they don't have right now. But they're very close. They're very close. George Santos for Speaker? Is that what you said? Yeah. Okay, so a super quick future news. Steve Scalise does have the majority, of the Republicans. Is he going to actually get speakership? Jake, what do you think?
I hope so, yes.
Yeah, I think that's a done deal. Yeah. No big deal. No big shakes here.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A local couple has made it back safely after a trip to Israel that just happened to be right when the Hamas attacks happened. We'll have their story plus more after this update from Fox News. News Radio 92.3.
Five Americans dead. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. Secretary of State Antony Blinken with that update on the war in Israel. At least 17 Americans are missing. Secretary Blinken's in Tel Aviv, meeting with Israeli leaders, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Thank you, America, for standing with Israel today, tomorrow, and always.
We must stand together, resolved to confront what is worst among humanity with what is best.
1,300 deaths are reported in Israel since Hamas terrorists attacked on Saturday. 1,300 deaths in Gaza in Israeli military strikes. Does anyone guess when the House will have a new speaker? The Republican speaker nominee, Steve Scalise, does not have the votes to actually win the job on the House floor because too many Republicans say they'll vote against him. Scalise beat Jim Jordan in a secret ballot.
And the rule was whoever gets the majority vote, we would support that person on the floor. And now it appears that people don't want to abide by that rule and tradition, which really throws the House into chaos.
Wisconsin House Republican Mike Gallagher on Fox. Talks to end the TV and movie actors' strike are suspended.
Negotiations between the striking SAG-AFTRA union and the major studios and streamers broke down after less than 2 weeks, dimming hopes performers would return to work anytime soon. It's also likely to end the studio's chances of salvaging a 2023-24 TV season. The coalition representing the studios said the gap between the two sides is too great, noting Wednesday's proposal from the union to share streaming revenue would cost studios $800 million a year and create an untenable economic burden. Carmen Roberts, Fox News.
A suspended judge in Oklahoma could be permanently removed for exchanging more than 500 texts with a bailiff during a murder trial where she mocked prosecutors, praised defense attorneys, and called a witness a liar. The defendant ended up convicted of manslaughter and served no additional jail time. America's listening to Fox News.
My dad has a cold, but also has high blood pressure. That's why I got him Vicks NyQuil High Blood Pressure for fast, powerful nighttime relief. Unlike some ordinary cold medicines, it's specially formulated for people like my dad. NyQuil High Blood Pressure is sugar-free, alcohol-free, and decongestant-free.
Vicks NyQuil High Blood Pressure. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, fever, sore throat, cold, and flu for people with high blood pressure.
Like my dad.
Medicine. Use as directed.
Identity theft shows no signs of slowing down. In fact, more than $29 billion were stolen last year alone. That's a criminal success story and a wake-up call for everyone else. It can be dangerously